Welcome to the Mint Euro Special 2016 podcast. Over the next 30 days, Ankit Prasad will take you through some of the most exciting happenings from on and off the football field.
Hello and welcome to European Nights, a show about football. Today is Monday, the 13th of June, and I'm Ankit Prasad. There was some scintillating action last night, and we'll run you through the results before bringing in our always rotating panel of expert experts. Croatia took on Turkey in the opening match from Group D, the group of death. It was a tight contest between two good sides like we'd hoped it would be, but Croatia, with informed players such as Modric, Rakitic and Cerna, shaded the opening exchanges. Luka Modric scored the opening goal towards the end of the first half as he skillfully volleyed a ball dropping right out of the sky. He caught it clean and full with the laces and the ball took one bounce before going in near the keeper's far post. In the second half, Turkey sent on a couple of attacking options such as a Volkan Sen, who sounds like a Star Trek character, as well as a striker Burak Yilmaz and an 18-year-old left-footed winger named Emre Mor, who's unsurprisingly been billed as the Turkish Messi. They were unable to find an equaliser though, and at the other end, Danilo Cerna struck the crossbar with a free kick and Brozovic smashed a volley just over. Vedran Korluka had sustained a nasty head gash which continued to bleed despite the best efforts of the Croat medical team and a selection of headgear and bandages, and also something that looked suspiciously like chewing gum. He made it till the end though, and Croatia take an early lead in a group that also contains defending double champions Spain and the Czech Republic. The second match was a Group C encounter between Northern Ireland and Poland. Poland battered the Irish in the first half. The European Championship debutants were just barely hanging on in there, but they managed to make it to half-time with the deadlock intact. Arkadiusz Milik had the best chance to score for the Poles, but he blazed over with only the keeper to beat. But shortly after the start of the second half, he atoned for his miss by receiving the ball in the box and screwing a shot between two defenders and past the keeper. It was the only goal of the match, though a flying Milik did have another few chances. Poland won 1-0. And lastly, World Cup champions Germany defeated a spirited Ukraine 2-0. The first half was enormously exciting, and both sides could have scored on multiple occasions. Jerome Boateng cleared what looked certain to be his own goal off the line, and Manuel Neuer saved a goal or two himself. Jurgen Löw had selected Mario Götze and Julian Draxler in a skillful attack, but it was a set piece that gave them the lead. Skodran Mustafi rose highest to head in Toni Kroos's cross, and the Germans were ahead. Ukraine's highest ever goalscorer, Andrei Shevchenko, was assistant manager for his team, but the halftime team talk failed to really inspire the Ukrainians, whose main players Konoplyanka and Yarmolenko seemed to be tiring as Germany gave them the runaround. Neither side created much though till the last minute, as Germany broke at lightning pace and Mesut Ozil found Bastian Schweinsteiger, who had only just arrived, with a pinpoint centre, and the German captain made no mistake as his first time shot went straight in with aplomb. The whistle blew right after and Germany are up and running. Now we have a conversation between Franz Beckenbauer, that is Kaiser, the late great George Best and the late great Johan Cruyff about the immediate past, present and future. Beckenbauer: It is very strange to speak to two ghosts. If I were a normal person, I would be scared. But of course, I am not called Kaiser for nothing. Let me bring you both up to date. Georgie, you will be happy to know that Northern Ireland are playing in Euro 2016. However, you may not be so happy to know that they lost their opening match to Poland yesterday. Also, no Irish player nutmegged anyone in the opposition team. And Johan, I am sure you know that the Netherlands have not qualified. It is a shame, but not to worry. Die Mannschaft has arrived and has already blitzkrieged the Ukraine 2-0. We will move on to Poland next, and then the Irish. Best: Are you sure nobody nutmegged anyone? In all of 90 minutes, not even one tiny little nutmeg? Darn, that's a shame. Football isn't the same as when we played it, that's for sure, ain't it, Johan? And why didn't you tell me Northern Ireland had qualified and the Dutch hadn't? I'm going to total your football in our next game. Cruyff: Ah, George, it is simple. I didn't want to tell you because you would laugh at me. Heaven is no football pitch. I cannot simply bamboozle you with a quick turn and run away into space. You will follow me. But really, Kaiser, mine old rival, so sure are you in your team? I could not help but notice before I left, Germany play now suspiciously like one of my teams. All that possession and movement and skill, it's not the efficiency of your day. It's more like how my Netherlands and Barcelona sides played. Beckenbauer.
Johann, you're perceptive as ever. Truth is, this German side can play as the situation demands. We have a group of very skilled players, and so when we need to outplay an opponent, we can do that. However, when we come across a more skilled opponent, like I came across you, such as Spain, we change our style. It is fluid. Also, speaking of styles, your protege, Pep Guardiola, has moved to Manchester City. And Georgie, your former team, Manchester United, have also changed their coach. Louis van Gaal has left and Jose Mourinho has now come.
Cruyff.
You seem to be the same, Franz, but the Orange should still have won that World Cup. Gerd Müller was a great goal scorer and so we couldn't. However, I'm glad that my philosophy is still prevalent to this day and I hope Guardiola takes it to England. Beating Mourinho is not a simple task though, he is a winner. Louis van Gaal, it is true I never got along with him. He was a process coach and I a people's coach, but he was also a winner. However, the fans never liked his football and so that is why he always left controversially. Interesting, much to ponder, I still have.
Best.
Oh, you do you, Mr. Yoda? That little green fella is rubbing off more on you than you'll admit. In any case, I don't know who Mourinho is, and I also don't know what business Cruyff's baby has going to Manchester City.
They're Manchester City, move on.
Louis van Gaal was a nice bloke, liked to drink and also liked sex. The kind of guy I could have got along with. Not like this philosopher stoned here. In any case, Kaiser, old chap, it's time for us to go. God's rounded up some of his angels and they're looking for a beating. Talk soon. Cheerio.
Alright, if you thought that yesterday's action was intense, then today is a whole other level. For one, the day begins with Spain taking on the Czech Republic. Now, normally Spain would need no introduction, but right now they're a team in transition. Xavi, Iniesta and Xabi Alonso's world-beating partnership has come to an end, but this time around, unlike in the 2014 World Cup, Spain have a couple of strikers who can add a little directness to all that relentless passing. Alvaro Morata has fantastic pace and posture and has so far in his short career lived for the big occasion. At the other end of the spectrum, Aritz Aduriz is making his big tournament debut at the grand old age of 35 after a great season with Athletic Bilbao. Fabregas, Thiago and Koke will have to aid Iniesta, Busquets and David Silva in midfield when called upon, while Sergio Ramos and Gerard Pique are two of the best around in defence. To be sure, Spain's entry into these championships is an important moment in world football. The rest of the teams will be hoping that the Spain of 2014 turns up rather than the unplayable menace from before that. Their opponents on the night, the Czech Republic, have a pedigree in this competition that predates the formation of the nation in 1993 from what was known before that as Czechoslovakia. Admittedly, the former incarnation has a better record at the big tournaments, but the Czechs are by no means here by accident. They were winners of the infamous Group A in the qualifiers from which the Netherlands failed to qualify. They defeated the Dutch both home and away and scored a bucketload of goals on their way. There are players in the Czech side that have been there for ages. Three players, Peter Cech in goal, Tomas Rosický and Jaroslav Prasil, have completed a century of caps, but a lot of those that remain are relatively untested at this level. Spain have a history of starting tournaments slowly though, and so we're only going for a 1-0 win for La Furia Roja. The Czechs may just escape this one without any long-lasting damage. In the second match that kicks off at 9:30 PM, we have probably the two biggest talkers of these championships. Sweden take on Ireland at the Stade de France, and just the thought of Zlatan Ibrahimovic going toe-to-toe with John O'Shea makes this entire tournament worth it. To do a comparison between the two, O'Shea is 35 while Zlatan is 34. The Swedes' list of honours include two league titles in the Netherlands, three Serie A's, not counting the two that were revoked after the Italian Calciopoli scandal,
1 La Liga and 4 League Ones. He has also won 3 annual cups and 1 FIFA Club World Cup. He is a global superstar, widely considered one of the best players in the world. John O'Shea, on the other hand, looks a bit like a lumberjack and plays for Sunderland, which anyone will tell you is not quite Paris. However, if you were to look at his medals haul, there are 5 English Premier Leagues, 1 FA Cup, 3 League Cups, 1 FIFA Club World Cup, and 1 Champions League. He's also once managed to nutmeg the great Luis Figo in a critical Champions League quarterfinal, something that we're not quite sure if Zlatan has managed thus far. Also, the last time the two players faced off in the knockout rounds of the Champions League in 2009, O'Shea was part of the defence which kept Zlatan and his Inter Milan side goalless for 180 minutes. So maybe it's not so wild a mismatch. Also, Robbie Keane is both highest ever appearance maker and highest ever goal scorer for the Republic of Ireland. And as of Miroslav Klose's retirement, he's also the highest active international goal scorer in the world. That's 67 goals in 143 games. And with him, he has a whole load of Premier League mid-table experience. On the bench, they have Martin O'Neill, who's the bad cop, and Roy Keane, who's the really bad cop. And so the Irish won't exactly be shirking. Sweden have Zlatan though, and Zlatan has 62 goals in 113 matches. It really is going to be a lot of fun, and we're totally sticking our necks out and going for a 3-2 win for any one of the teams. And then, for the main event, the Belgians will take on Italy at the Stadium of Light in Lyon. As such, Belgium have hardly any right to think of taking on Italy. Their best finish in the Euros was in 1980, when a very talented side lost to West Germany in the final. And in the World Cup 6 years later in Mexico, they were beaten 2-0 in the semi-final by the magnificence of one Diego Armando Maradona. The Italians, on the other hand, are proper footballing royalty. They have won 4 World Cups, have boasted some of the greatest players, attackers and defenders to have ever played the game, and are a side that can just as easily outfight an opponent as outplay them. Right now though, they are in the doldrums. Age is normally no bar in Italy. If you're good enough, you're young enough. And in Gianluigi Buffon, they have one of the great goalkeepers in football. Their famed defence though is another matter. For one, there isn't a single defender who's played more than 100 matches. Giorgio Chiellini has 84 to his name, and after that there's the Barzaglis and Bonuccis and Darmians of this world who wouldn't hold a candle to their predecessors. In midfield, it's more a question of promise than anything else. Andrea Pirlo's absence will be keenly felt, but in the absence of the likes of Montolivo and Marchisio, there's an opportunity for Alessandro Florenzi and Federico Bernardeschi to step up and be counted. Up front too, it remains to be seen where the goals will come from, as no striker has more than 5 goals. In fact, Daniele De Rossi with 18 goals is the only player to score in the double digits. Add to that, Antonio Conte, Italy's coach with the suspicious hair, is going to be joining Chelsea next season, and it's never very good when your coach has one foot out the door. On the other hand, the Belgians are one step above the dark horses that they were in 2014. They are now a full-blown threat to anyone with hopes of winning the competition. Up front, Romelu Lukaku will give Chiellini plenty to think about with his pace, skill and raw power. He's only 23, but he's been banging them in for years now. Then there's also Christian Benteke and the likes of Divock Origi to cause defenders problems. However, the Belgians' main strength is their playmakers. Eden Hazard, Kevin De Bruyne and Dries Mertens can be completely unplayable on their own, and even if two of the three click early in the tournament, it could be curtains for their opponents. Further, Marouan Fellaini and Moussa Dembélé will give the Belgians plenty of height and drive respectively in midfield. If teams have a chance against them, it's at the back. Manchester City and Belgian captain Vincent Kompany is out injured and is not playing this tournament. And that leaves a creaky Thomas Vermaelen to partner Tottenham's Jan Vertonghen at the back, in front of Thibaut Courtois. Vermaelen could be a weak link. If there's one thing you can count on though, it's the Italians' ability to take on a far more impressive team. It's also early on in the competition, and so attacking teams may take a little time to hit top gear, and so Italy can hope to eke out a draw if they play it cautiously. Which they will. We're going for a frustrating nil-all draw in this one. And so, that's our episode for today. The footballing menu tonight is simply mouth-watering. We'll see you on the other side. I'm Ankit Prasad, and this was European Nights.